Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're talking again.
About body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
And...
Brendan Levi.
Today, we won't be breaking down another body swap movie. Instead, we'll be looking back at the last 2 years of the podcast as we celebrate our second ever Swapcast Awards.
Woo! I'm wearing a tuxedo for people who can't see me at home.
Ooh, me too. I love your gown as well, Lucy.
I actually am wearing a dress. But
before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. And we actually did get a lovely review this week from Loco Roco One in the United States of America. And they say, just the right balance of chaos and genuine film analysis. Consistently entertaining, whether or not I've watched whatever they're talking about, because all the hosts are good storytellers and have the presence of mind to not say boring stuff, which is just so important in this line of work. Like sometimes on a podcast, the hosts will start going on some tangent and I reach for the skip button. But I could listen to these people riff for hours. And I have, I suppose. So, lovely review. Thank you so much, Loco Roco.
You must know there's so much on the cutting room floor that I bore these guys constantly. But
I'm so glad it seems like effortless. Like they're not noticing the cuts.
I try really hard, actually.
But also, doesn't that like just fill you with confidence? Like in every scenario where you're in like public and you have to like talk to a crowd of people you don't know, like.
Yeah.
I am interesting to listen to when I talk about dumb shit.
It's the dream, isn't it? Thank you so much, Loco Roco, and everyone else, take Loco Roco's example and review us.
Yeah.
Because we love it. So before we get started with our big award ceremony, obviously we're looking at the last 2 years of episodes that we put out since the last award show. I sent you guys the short list of all the movies that were eligible for the awards. What were your feelings looking back on that list of the last 2 years? What's your general feeling of the movies that we've had to watch the last 2 years?
I was like, there's a lot of hard ones on here. Like, you know what I mean? Like Heaven Can Wait and The Heckler and... Oh, just Sam. Oh, Sam. Does everyone remember Sam? I don't.
I absolutely had to go to our own website and look at all the tile images.
The images, yeah, to see what the fuck these were.
These names are not memorable.
The Big Fix we watched like a month ago and I was like, what's the Big Fix?
I know.
I was actually surprised at how many like genuinely great movies we've watched mixed in here though. We've had some really good stuff.
You're like, oh shit, there's like Get Out mixed in with this, this list.
So I have tried, guys, to not make it too painful. So
I don't think you've tried that hard. I think you've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true. All right, so let's get into our categories. So, first category, most convincing swap performance. So, this is for the actual swaps, the person that was most convincing at playing whoever they've swapped into. Lucy, who did you pick?
I picked that 8-year-old kid from Family Swap.
Oh, snap.
Still can't go past. Yeah.
Rose de Kervanoel as Chacha in Family Swap.
Yeah.
Wait, you've got that in your head?
No, I chose her as well. So wow. That's why. No, I totally agree. What an amazing performance.
Yeah. Like, can't go past her. She did a great job. And so young. Yeah. She really could school some of these bitches, I tell you.
Yeah, for an 8-year-old little girl to embody her, like, 40-year-old mother so perfectly.
Yeah.
It was just a sight to behold. And, like, the scenes where she's just, like, sitting there on a park bench smoking a cigarette with her legs crossed. It's like, just iconic. It's so good. How is she not a gay icon at this point? I don't understand. Brendan, who did you choose?
I have chosen... I didn't realize we were choosing, like, a particular actor. So I
what
chosen...
What do you mean? What do you think we were choosing? Like, a vibe or...?
Well, in the Family Swap, there's multiple swaps.
Yeah.
And so I have likewise... not just chosen one person, but I chose...
This is the Oscars of... swapping, like, this is, you've got to pick, there can only be one.
Then I changed
now
my vote.
Just tell us what you just tell us, it's fine.
Well, I have gone with a bit more of a less thrilling answer. Mine is the swaps in the film Get Out, because like the nuance of the acting, like, it was a very close. It was this or it was Here Comes the Bride.
I which, so thought you were going to choose Here Comes the Bride, especially the maid.
Like I said, there was a language barrier, and I genuinely, like, understood who was who from the SWAT performances. But yeah. I decided to go with Get Out just because of the nuance and the actual, like, acting, not just. Not just the overacting, but just the little bits, and then how satisfying it was to discover the swap on first watch. So I'm going with Get Out.
Yeah, that is also a very solid choice. Yeah. And just, like, you see their performance, but you also see the person trapped inside them,
sure.
That performance. And it's just like, so good. Especially the grandma stuck in the, like, the housekeeper's body, and that's so good.
Yeah.
So let's look at the inverse. What do you think was the least convincing swap performance we've seen in any of these films over the last 2 years? Brendan, you go first.
I will be interested to see if anyone else has this, because I'm almost certain that all three of us are about to say someone from this film.
Should we all say the movie at the same time?
The movie, okay. 1, 2, 3.
The Big Fix.
Yes! Sweet!
Brilliant. And also, I just wrote down any of the Big Fixes. I'm sorry.
I specifically called out Vanessa Rodriguez and Brooke Mucci as the mother and daughter, because they had the added thing that the mum had an accent and it did not transfer in either of the swaps. I think at least Brendan and I did the same thing in the last awards for Like Father, Like Son with the Dudley Moore, Kirk Cameron swap.
Sure.
Did not bother with the accent, and this is just as bad.
But that aside, like, I just think they did an outstanding performance of not bothering to try to act like each other in any way.
Yep.
And I think, you know, this is probably the only award this film's going to get.
Because it's so under the radar, it's not even, like, the Razzies wouldn't even think about it. So what a fucking terrible movie.
Yeah, truly.
Next category, best non-swapped performance in a swap film. So these are for the supporting characters that don't undergo a body swap in their film. I will get us started. And I am choosing Nicole Kidman in Birth.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. What?
I am. I'm choosing Nicole Kidman in Birth.
Start again. Wait, why?
Well, I thought she did a phenomenal job. Like,
of being convinced that her husband was in the body of a little boy.
Yeah, like...
Bathing with an 8-year-old?
Like, Nicole Kidman had to go through a journey in that film, and I was with her every step of the way. Like, it was an emotionally traumatic experience, and, like, that's one of the few films we've watched that really acknowledges how traumatic it would be to be around one of these body swaps. And she really went through the ringer. And there's that, like, iconic, like, scene in the film where she's, like, watching the performance, and it's just like a close-up of her face as she's like breaking down emotionally. And I don't know, I thought it was genuinely an excellent performance, but I know you guys like fucking hated that movie,
so. I hope the journey that you're talking about that she had to go on involved firing her agent, because girl,
I don't know, I'll stand by Birth. Lucy, who did you choose?
So I hope this is right. Mm-hmm. I'm doing Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya from Get Out, because he doesn't swap, right? Like,
yeah, he doesn't swap. Yes. They try to get him to swap,
yes,
but he doesn't.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm picking him. He was just like knocked it out of the park in that movie. Yeah. The scene when, you know, he's crying and that single tear rolls down his cheek, and you can see he's starting to like lose his grip on. Yeah. It was so good.
Totally.
Did he get
nominated
for an Academy Award?
I feel like he did.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he did. Definitely deserved it. He definitely won after that film for Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
But I personally think that performance was even stronger. Like,
yeah,
he was phenomenal in that movie. So two heavy hitters so far, Daniel Kaluuya and Nicole Kidman. Brendan, who's your pick?
Well, to round off such a colourful cast, I'm choosing from Being John Malkovich, Catherine Keener, as the Maxine character. Yeah. Like, just so sarcastic, so mean, so like hilarious, and just a fantastic performance throughout, and I like loved every minute she was on screen.
Yeah, well, that's so funny, because I almost chose Catherine Keener in Get Out.
Yeah, I was thinking
was great in that too. Yeah.
So I guess if you want someone to support your body swap film, get Catherine Keener, because she'll give an amazing performance. Maybe that's what The Big Fix really needed.
Was Catherine Keener? Could you imagine?
I think many movies could benefit from her. So.
From a Catherine Keener? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, this one is a hard one, because it forces you to remember something that you've forgotten. So what was the most forgettable movie that we've watched in the last 2 years? Brendan.
What was really helpful was having a list of all the films. And so going through them, I sort of tried to give myself like a little like reminder of, what's the plot? Give myself a little Paul 30-second summary. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I hit this film, I was like, what happened? I don't know anything that happened in this film. And I've got it. The award goes to Fallen, starring Denzel Washington.
Oh, wow.
I had no clue what happens. I know there's a serial killer, and I see they swap bodies. That's all I can give you, man.
It's a good pick.
So now that you've dwelled on it, you still have no idea what happened in the plot?
I'm looking at the IMDb page, refreshing faces. I don't know who the evil person is at all.
That is crazy to me, because, like, really? I mean, that film was shit, but there's a lot of memorable stuff that happens in it.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, the person that wrote that review who said my character arc was that I used to rag on this particular movie every episode and bring it up, and now I truly have no idea what it is.
Like, how many films that a demonic serial killer swaps into a cat have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember that's what happened either. I might want to change my answer, actually.
Mr. Fuzzy Pants, does that fit the description?
I don't think Kevin Spacey's a serial killer. That's like the one thing he isn't.
Just a moment.
Lucy, what film was your most forgettable?
Well, I feel like maybe I kind of misunderstood the assignment because I'm talking about it again. But yeah. I'm picking The Big Fix because, like Brendan said, I was looking at the list and I saw the name and I was like, I don't know what that movie was. And then when I looked, I had to go on our own website and look. And the poster, you know, the way like the central figure in the poster was barely in the film at all.
Was the pastor? That's not in the film except for like 10 seconds. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it was so bad that I keep bringing it up. But, it was lost.
There's moments in The Big Fix that I will never forget.
All that came coming to mind was the gay teacher who was cool with incest.
Do you know as well what do you know as well what I, you know, I kind of skipped through the episode to refresh my memory. And you know the way we couldn't do the plot?
Yeah.
I'm like, even us, we'd forgotten it, even though we watched it like two hours ago. Yeah.
Actually, I do remember that you reminded me during the review that they tried to kill the mayor.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so good. That's so shit. All right. So mine is actually The Christmas Swap. So I remember vaguely was like, there was like a dying old man and like something about Santa.
Yes.
I cannot remember anything else out of this film. I remember there was like homeless criminals, maybe.
And there was a guy from Charmed.
The guy from Charmed. I remember that it was was he an angel?
Wasn't he a fallen angel in Charmed or something?
No, he was
in Charmed.
Now I'm forgetting Charmed.
Not an angel. What was he? He had a name. It was like a something. It was like a spirit thing.
Nah. Well, Christmas Swap was a very forgettable and awful and boring film.
Yeah, it was.
So I think it might be a defense mechanism of my brain to have like flushed this out of my memory. And it's funny enough, last award ceremony, I gave the award to A Christmas Swap.
Right.
Was it A Christmas Switch? Or is this The Christmas Switch? I can't remember.
And right there, you've hit the nail on the head.
Oh, my God. I can never get these films right. Is this The Christmas Switch I'm talking about or A Christmas Swap I'm talking about?
I think it's Swap.
I don't know. Look at the website.
Yeah, look at our own website.
I'm sticking with The Christmas Switch. Or, no, The Christmas Swap. Whatever this is. I think this is too perfect. It fits the category too well, so I'm just going to leave this in.
Yeah.
So, worst moment in a swap film. So, it doesn't have to be directly related to the swap, but the worst moment that we saw in one of these swap films that we've endured over the last 2 years.
Mm.
Lucy.
Mine is when, from the heckler, when the heckler tries to murder that kid.
I forgot about that. I forgot
like,
about
this
that.
Is so dark.
Yeah. How many fun romps involve child murder?
Exactly.
This one, apparently.
And why was he doing it? Was he doing it so that he could be with the mum, like, untethered?
Yeah, he wanted to go on a European holiday with the mum.
That's so going to work out, dude. Like, she's not going to be, like, completely grief-stricken by her child being murdered.
Dying on a boat trip with him, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fucking terrible movie. Yeah. And, like, that was an awful character. Like, if there was a reward for, like, worst character in a swap film, like, that guy would win it. He was disgusting and awful.
Yeah.
Yes, great choice. And a great reminder. I totally had forgotten about that. Brendan, what's yours?
Well, speaking of children, mine goes to the film Birth.
What scene in particular?
The bath scene, Paul. The bath scene. And maybe now's the time we can, like, maybe put a rule in that we no longer talk about the bath scene. Because it's so awkward and gross. And
like I said, let's have a fresh start to this year.
You know, you call it awkward and gross. I call it a iconic piece of cinema that's been talked about for years after. But, you know, to each their own.
Holy, it's the holy mountain of sort films.
All right. My worst moment in a SWAT film is the dog walking around an apartment, opening drawers, set to Chevy Chase's droll voiceover in Oh Heavenly Dog.
Yes. Yes.
Because never before have I been watching a film and been so upset and sad, and sad that I started crying just because I was so bored.
Like, for real? Like, you were just...
I literally cried watching that scene because I was so bored. I was really upset. Like, I had a bad day.
Like, I have to watch this.
Yeah, it's like, there's nothing I can do. I have to watch this.
I didn't know crying was an option. I'd be doing it a lot more.
That film was a piece of shit. And, like, yeah, it was just like, who thought they, like, I'm making this kids film. Let's leave this like 10-minute sequence of a dog just walking around opening drawers and looking through drawers in an apartment. It was, it just boggles the mind. So yeah, fuck you, Oh Heavenly Dog. There's a reason that's on the bottom of my list. Next category, most wasted potential in a body swap film. So one that, you know, had the ingredients to be something great and didn't quite get there. Lucy.
So I'm doing a tie with the first one being 14 going on 30 because I can't believe that's what they called the movie. Like, it was decades before 13 going on 30. I just don't know why. It just boggles the mind. It's either 14 going on 40 or you'd call it 13 going on 30. I still can't understand it.
Great movie, though.
Yeah, so the movie was fun, but I'm so mad at the title. It just, and then the other one was super cool because I felt like there were some ingredients there, there was some casting there, and it was just such a weird mix of, the end result was weird.
Yeah, totally agree. It's like a first draft of what could have been a good comedy.
Yes.
Like, it was like the outline, and then that's when you hand it to an actual comedian and get them to write
it. And they punch it up. Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And like a script doctor to like take out all the shit that didn't make sense. Like, let's go to a Viagra dealer for no reason and then have to hold his hands while he's having sex with another
his
woman.
Partner, yeah.
Totally so agree. But like, agreed. Amazing cast, though. Like, they could have done something amazing
exactly.
with that cast. Yeah.
Wasted potential.
Brendan, what was yours?
Mine is going to the film Brave.
Okay, yeah.
Like, as far as opportunity, resources, you have Pixar Studios backing you all the way. How do you not come up with, like, nothing but gold when you have all that available to you? And I just think... it's a fun era. The characters are even there. It's just the story just fails on so many levels that it's just really disappointing that it could have been something great, I think. So mine is going to Brave.
I actually, totally am with you with that. That's a great choice. Like, I go into a Pixar film with certain expectations and that film just did not meet that at all.
Yeah, even as I'm someone who's not like, you know, so like such a Disney head like you are, I still am like, I have like you said, like I have these expectations that I'm going to see a decent movie. Like, it might not be my sort of thing or whatever, but I'm usually going to have an enjoyable time. Whereas Brave just didn't quite hit those expectations.
I still, because I think this was the week I was moving house, so you guys did this episode without me.
Yeah.
So I still haven't seen it. I still, you guys sound really scarred.
Look, the thing is, it's not even that bad. It's not a bad movie. It's just so middling. Like, it's just, forgettable and, inconsequential, which isn't what you think of usually with Pixar. So I'd be interested to see what you think, Lucy. Like, it's an easy watch, something to watch with Otis. Like, I don't think you'd hate it, but yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think. So my pick is Fallen. So I think a film about a serial killer that can move, a demonic serial killer that can move through touch.
That's what it was about.
Starring Denzel Washington. And John Goodman. Like, this should have been a fucking amazing film. This should have been a 10 out of 10 film. Great concept, great cast, and it just was pretty average. Yeah. So, you know, they always say, like, people shouldn't be remaking good movies. They should remake bad movies and fulfill their potential. I really could see someone taking Fallen and making something amazing out of it.
Mm.
Put it in the right directors and the right writers' hands. So if anyone's out there with those resources, this is what you should do.
And has the intellectual property of the film Fallen.
Yes. which I'm sure, you know, all the Hollywood bigwigs listen to us, so I know one of them doesn't.
God, I hope not.
All right. So next category, most offensive body swap film. So last time you guys both chose Pretty Cool.
Which I stand by it.
I don't agree with, but so I'm very interested to see what you pick this time.
What did you choose? We chose Pretty Cool.
I chose The Cobbler.
For being boring?
No, for all the racism.
The racial,
and,
yeah, sure.
And the rape stuff as well.
Yeah, fair.
Where
fair,
Adam
cool.
Sandler, the only reason Adam Sandler doesn't rape a woman is because he couldn't take, he like, he
couldn't
realized
take
he
shoes
had to
off.
Take his shoes off. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fun times. From the director of Spotlight. this time I'm choosing Mama Boy. For all its anti-abortion stance, its pro-fat-shaming stances, plus the pedophilic school nurse that's played for laughs. This film was a train wreck.
Yeah.
Well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, I pretty much want to change my answer now.
Like, I kept looking at Mama Boy and going, it's got to get an award for something. It had a lot going for it.
Well, I know there's listeners out that would give it like most rewatchable, most fun stoned watch, which is totally fair. I would give those things to it as well.
It's a good bad movie.
It's a good bad movie, and I really hope one day that it will reach the Room levels of infamy. I don't see it happening, but it would be lovely if it did. It just needs, like, how did this get made? Needs to sniff that one out.
Yeah,
and I feel like people will, you know.
We'll give it some life, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's not forget that it is wildly offensive.
So,
Brendan, what did you choose?
For most offensive, I feel like you guys might not agree with me here, but I'm going with Hotel Transylvania Transformania.
What?
So, like, the character of... Was it Andy? Jonathan. The character
played by
Andy Samberg. The character of Jonathan was just so annoying and so frustrating. And the fact that this entire film is trying to tell me that Dracula or whatever it is, is in the wrong for hating him and not wanting to trust him with his business. Like, everyone is gaslighting him. It's total bullshit. He's a fucking idiot. and not only did I have such a hard time watching it, but for months after, I've been in conversations with a friend, and every week we'll just be like, and another thing about fucking Jonathan. Well, I have a long transcript of conversations about how bad and how problematic Jonathan is and why children should be listening to his bloody bullshit. So I'm going with Hotel Transylvania.
So you won't be showing the film to your son when he's older?
Oh, maybe if he gets, like, you know, when he hits like 15 or something and he has more like context. But like, it's just not made for children.
Lucy, what's yours?
I'm doing the heckler again.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember how much we went in on,
because of just the killing children bit?
Well, there was that. There was just like, just the character of the heckler was just, yeah.
Yeah,
unredeemable.
Sure.
Yeah. And we hated the clothes in that movie. We hated the set design in that movie. Offensive. Yeah, there was so much to be offended by.
It was offensive to our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I feel, was there like some sort of like sexist or anti-ableist, something like, there was a really bad joke that he said in that, and I can't remember what it was. I've flushed it out of my memory, but I feel even the jokes were offensive.
Yeah, the heckler was another one in the running for most forgettable for me. So.
It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic choice. And I can't believe the heckler is getting mentioned so much in the award ceremony. All right. So, next category. Sexiest person in a body swap film. So, I'll start. And it actually kills me to be giving a positive award to a bad movie.
Who is
it? I couldn't go past it. Sam Clier as Doc, the love interest in Sam.
Really?
I can't even remember.
Got to see this guy.
If you go to our Instagram, the post I did for this movie was a shirtless picture of him. And he got his shirt off. He was sexy as fuck. I felt sorry for him because he's trapped in this horrible movie. But he played like a hot, successful doctor as well. Like he was extremely fuckable.
I'm looking at photos. Okay. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you do go to our Instagram page, you will find
it's very shirtless, so it's hard to know which one.
Yeah, there is a lot of shirtless photos.
Look, we got a brand that we have to.
It's your brand, by the way. Where is it?
So he's like,
yeah, I see.
Yeah. Do you remember him?
I do. Yeah,
he was hot.
He was.
He was the one shining light in that movie. So I stand by my choice.
Shining shirtless light.
And, you know, like last time I gave it to the guy from Virtual Sexuality, I reward a good shirtless moment.
We really do have a brand here, don't we?
Yeah. So, that's my choice. Lucy, what's yours?
So I did male and female categories for equality. So I picked Lakeith Stanfield from Get Out, even though he's not in it for very long, but I just think he is so pretty.
Yeah, he is.
Like I have a real crush on him. And then I picked Jane Seymour from O Heavenly Dog. She's like,
geez, O Heavenly Dog, two awards.
She's so beautiful.
She was stunning.
Remember the way I was like, she should be a Bond girl. And then someone wrote us and was like, she is a Bond girl. She's just like this ethereal beauty who just deserved to not be in that movie.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. She was stunning. And Lakeith, yes, totally can get it. So, Brendan, is your sexy person from another terrible movie?
No. Well, I rated it quite highly. You guys did not. So,
What could it be?
Mine's like, you know, at the Oscars when, like, there's that, like, underdog indie film that, like, you know, all of a sudden sweeps like a big award and everyone's like just super positive and happy for them.
Yeah.
Mine is going to Daphne Ashbrook playing Peggy Noble in 14 Going on 30. I'm just waiting for the applause right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually love that movie as well. I really rated that movie. And she was stunning in it.
She was stunning. She was a teacher that made her hotter. And then, like, just the era that she's in, I think, like, the like, whatever
that kind camera of stock
and the hair and the clothes, it just all worked and just hit the right button. So I'm going Daffy Ashbrook.
Yeah, great choice. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. So the next award is the I Should Have Rated It Higher Award. So what film did you look at your best to worst list and go, I put that too low. I should have rated that higher. I feel like Lucy and I are going to have the same one.
I know. I'd be very interested to see.
All right. Should we all do the no, actually, we'll do it separately.
We are not going to get the same one.
Should Paul and I say it at the same time?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Lucy and I, let's say it at the same time. See if we got the same one. All right.
One, two, three. My brother the pig.
Yes.
Purely for the hair machine commercial ad. I mean,
think about the amount of joy every time I think of it, it brings me so much joy. So I don't even care that the movie wasn't that good. Every time I revisit it, I feel warm inside. Yes. And I did it a disservice by putting it so low.
Same. I put it so fucking low.
For listeners who haven't heard our Brother the Pig episode, what we're discussing is a local commercial that aired in like the 90s in Adelaide and was for a hair salon.
Yeah. And the song from that hair salon ad was in the movie.
Was in the soundtrack.
And we got so excited about it.
But we watched that movie together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way Paul just was like, is this the hair machine song? And we all just fell about. And it was just like impossible to recover. Because it's such a deep cut into living in Adelaide the 90s. Like, yeah.
And then on top of that, it has added into our lexicon the DPW, dehydrated poop worm, came from my brother the pig, and it's a part of the DNA of our show now.
It is.
So, like, it should be higher. It's an iconic swap.
Yeah.
Moment. So yeah, 100%.
I while we were discussing it, I did just like go on YouTube and get up the commercial, and the first comment is, this ad gave me nightmares as a young lad.
But mainly because of the haircuts. Do you remember the hair machine haircuts? They were
bad.
Out of this world. Yeah, yeah. Very asymmetrical, very full on. Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan, what film do you feel you should have rated higher?
I have gone for Monkey Bone. I think I'm looking at how far it's down and the things like Avatar that have eclipsed it. And I'm like, there was some real good stuff going on there. And I do think how much I appreciate like unique animation and how stylized it is. I think it does deserve more points. And I think I was in that mindset of like on the swap level, where should it be?
Yeah.
But fuck that.
Yeah. And you know, Brendan Fraser does anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Great comedic performances by him and even Corky Romano. I can't remember his name.
Chris Kattan. Yeah. No, solid choice. I was actually thinking about that one for a few awards, so I'm glad it got mentioned.
Yeah.
And this is probably the only nice award to get.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for all the main awards. So last award ceremony, I did have a special award. So like the Oscars has their humanitarian award that they give to like actors that have done like a lot in their fields to help, you know, underprivileged people or causes or whatever. So we did the same. We had the Swapcast Podcast Humanitarian Award. This is
go to. So,
yeah.
So our first one went to our listeners, Brendan and Ashley, Our OG listeners who we still love and they're still supporting us to this day. It's funny, at the time, because we didn't have DPW yet, listening back, before DPW, I used to call people rat fucks a lot.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
So the award is, and we'll still keep it because I don't like changing things, so the award is still called the Swapcast Podcast Humanitarian Award, a.k.a. Thanks for Not Being a Rat Fuck. this time, we will be awarding it to our listener, Kylie, who gave us an amazing review the other week and also gave us a master list spreadsheet of thousands of swaps.
Certainly worth an award.
Dream
for sure.
Listener, yeah.
Yeah, made my job easier, did my research for me. So if that's not being an amazing listener, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks, Kylie. We love you.
Thanks, Kylie.
Thanks, Kylie.
All right. So that's all our awards.
You're
how do
exhausted.
We feel?
This was such a night.
Yeah, I know.
I danced all night.
Yeah. Now for the Vanity Fair after party.
Right.
Now, one other thing that happened in our last award ceremony is that we talked about all the Olivia Wilde, Harry Styles, Shia LaBeouf set drama from Don't Worry, Darling.
Ahead of our time, yeah.
2 years before it became like international news and everyone was talking about it. So
it's just another reason you got to be listening to the Swapcast.
Like, yeah,
if you want to be
we're
in on
so on top of everything. So what are we going to talk about this time that everyone will be talking about in 2 years' time?
Silence.
The rise of Jennifer Coolidge? I don't know. What could it be?
That's already happened. We need something that's going to happen in 2 years.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe in 2 years she will have won an Academy Award.
Okay. We're calling it Jennifer Coolidge Academy Award.
Well, what's your prediction, Paul?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that entire segment?
yeah, that's the segment. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I'm happy. We'll run into that. Jennifer Coolidge, Oscar 2025. It's happening.
Love that.
That's it for the Swapcast Podcast Awards. I think that was quite successful. There wasn't many disagreements. I think we were all, apart from Nicole Kidman pick, I think everyone was pretty happy. With
that's what everyone
choice.
Will be talking about at the end of the ceremony.
Yeah, all the prognosticators on CNN will be like, I cannot believe.
It's eclipsed the actual winners poll. I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. This is the Will Smith slap of the... Oh, we forgot to slap each other. Now, in 2 years, that will be topical. So, next episode, we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming. So, we'll be doing our review of Avatar, The Way of Water. So, look forward to that one. And until next time, I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi.
Don't be a DPW piece of shit on the ground to review us. Bye.
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 The Swapcast Podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.